This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
An Illinois man sentenced to 45 years in prison after admitting to killing his girlfriend and trying to stage the scene to appear as she died by suicide. And that's what makes this story very interesting. The note, and we'll get to the note, but the note is unlike any suicide note I've ever seen before. How about you, Carol?
Oh, my God. When I saw this note, I was like, I can't even believe he thought this would work.
It's amazing.
Somebody really would write this.
It's amazing what sometimes people think will work. Nathaniel N. Archula, 19, pled guilty to first-degree murder in September of 23 to the death of 20-year-old Mary Holcomb in South Peoria. According to a press release in the Peoria County State's Attorney's Office, police were called on September 6 to a home in the 1400 block of South Griswold for reports of a woman who had allegedly shot herself. When officers arrived, they found Holcomb on the stairwell landing, lying in a pool of blood with a gunshot wound to the neck. Firearm was found in her hand, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. So, of course, you look around the home. You search. Is this what it appears to be, or is there something else going on? Officers discovered a suspicious post-it note in a downstairs bedroom. You know, like people do, write suicide notes on post-its.
On post-its.
It read, I, Mary Elise Holcomb, promise to never break Nathaniel Archuleta's heart. And if I do, Nathaniel Archuleta has every right to euthanize me. Vice versa. I love you. That's a note. That's a lovely note.
And it makes, like, I don't even get it. Like, she, I guess in his warped mind, this, by creating this note, now she might have written it and he forced her to write it. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But does that make it okay in this guy's mind? Like, you know what? If I break his heart, he has every right to euthanize me. So then that's okay. I don't get it.
That's the weird part of this. Is he looking at this as an NDA?
Yeah. I don't
well,
get it.
Well, he's got the note.
And then, but it's also staged that she did that to herself.
Yeah.
And so, like, that makes no sense.
Could you imagine? I'm trying to find just some love song. Hi, it's Delilah. Who's on your heart tonight? Hey, Delilah. I made my woman write this note. Here's what it says. I, Mary Elise Holcomb, promise to never break Nathaniel Archuleta's heart. And if I do, Nathaniel Archuleta has every right to euthanize me. Vice versa, I love you. Delilah, can you play a song for me? That might be an awkward Delilah moment, if that ever were to happen.
Delilah would probably play Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't go breaking my heart. I won't go breaking your heart. Yeah.
I just don't get that. I don't get that note at all. And that's one of the weirdest things I've ever read.
There's a weird thing with Delilah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is still what it's like today, but I worked at a radio station and we ran the syndicated show Delilah. If you like, oh, I've heard of that radio show before. Yes, you probably have. It's in many markets across the country. We started running it like early on in the late 90s, and I worked at the station at night, so I had the thing on quite often in the background. And I swear to God, people would call into that show with some of the most bizarre stories sometimes. And the reaction that Delilah would give was fairly priceless, because I started counting. She related to like every story, no matter how dramatically horrible it was. Like, people would call in and say, like, I turned to sex work for a bit of time and I feel bad about it too. I mean, you name it. There was all sorts of shit. And from my memory, allegedly, I remember, like, and I'm not saying Delilah said she was a sex worker or anything like that, but there was elements of relatability to, like, oh, I know, I've been there too, and things like that. And I'd be like, what?
I didn't turn to sex work.
Are
I
you
just
saying
heroin? Like,
and I don't think that was ever the intent, but it was very much, I mean, there was a lot of that, and there was a lot where it's like, I don't know what level you're relating to these people on, but a kind of across the board, I relate to you was a little like, I don't know, overstepping sometimes, or maybe she's been down those roads. I don't know the answer to it, but she certainly, it was entertaining to listen to. Anyway, another fun side story on Delilah before we continue this conversation. My mom went on a rock and romance cruise with my dad, and they had like a bunch of 70s artists there. And Delilah was also on the damn boat. She was one of the hosts. My mom goes up to Delilah. And keep in mind, this is a syndicated radio show. And a lot of times people, when you're in radio, they don't realize it's a syndicated show. And they start calling your radio station to make requests and talk to Delilah. And when you have a 16-year-old version of me sitting there at the other end of the phone line running a rock radio show in the evening, and I can answer the Adult Contemporary's radio station's phone from that rock studio, you're going to get me going, hi, I'm Delilah. And I would pretend to be Delilah, and people would make their dedications, and I would say absolutely crazy, horrible things to them, and then go into, like, Ozzy Osbourne. I would do that for fun, and it was entertaining, and it was lovely radio in 1998. So my mom proceeds to share that story with Delilah.
Oh my God.
My son used to pretend that he
went over really well.
My son used to pretend that he was you. And he would answer the phones and say these things to people. And, like, I guess the reaction was just like, okay, nice to meet you. And just kind of, like, moved on. Like, what did you expect her to do? Oh, that's great. What kind of horrible advice did he give in my name?
And what market is he in? I kind of need to know because we need to get him off the air.
It's just like, what?
That story does not surprise me at all.
No. Well, and here's another funny one from yesterday. My mom was thoroughly, and look, I love my mom, but she was thoroughly impressed and really wanted to find the interview that I did with a local AM station, KFIZ, which was our competing station in my small town where I grew up. And a couple weeks ago, they reached out to me and said, hey, can we do a story on you as someone who's got out of our, you know, small town and has, you know, made it or whatever. And like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd love to talk about some of the adventures we used to have back then. It was a really fun interview. It was nice talking to some old friends. And the other day, just, I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere. And she just wants to hear that one. And like, I'm like, I just interviewed Howard Bloom and Robin Drake today. We're talking about the Idaho murder case. It was a pretty big interview. Like, as of this moment, it's been up for 24 hours and there's like 150,000 downloads on it on YouTube. But she was really wanting to hear the KFIZ one, the AM radio station from my hometown versus like, I'm like, okay.
Because the rest of it does not matter.
The rest of it, like where it's like where your son actually like, you know, here's where I am today. It was like, let's listen. Anyway. Investigators quickly grew skeptical of the suicide theory. A blood trail leading from the bedroom to the stairwell suggested Holcomb's body had been moved. Archuleta also gave contradictory statements during questioning, first saying Holcomb had shot herself, then claiming he was cleaning his gun. Oh, there's that one that everybody believes.
One.
Oops, my gun accidentally fired when I was cleaning it and it killed her.
Excuse me while I sit here and clean my gun.
What a genius excuse. No one's ever attempted that one before, and it worked. Later, however, Archuleta allegedly confessed to a fellow inmate saying he killed Holcomb after discovering she had been texting another man. Dun-dun-dun. During Monday's sentencing hearing, Holcomb's grieving family members spoke of the deep emotional trauma her murder has caused. They spoke of sleepless nights, nightmares, and persistent heartbreak. The state's attorney's office said they described their overwhelming sense of loss, loss of sisterly moments, shared dreams, the life milestones that will never come. Loved ones also described struggling with fear, depression, and anxiety, and called Archuleta's actions selfish and unforgivable. According to her obituary, Holcomb had aspirations of becoming a nurse, motivated by her compassion and desire to help others. She was remembered as a warm and kind person and loving older sister to her two younger siblings. It's probably what also drew her to him, of being a kind-hearted, helping person who wanted to help fix him. Yep.
And I wondered, too, about the story, her texting another man. My guess, my gut feeling on this is she probably tried to break up with him. Yeah. And he's like, absolutely not. So he gives himself a reason. Well, she was texting another man.
Or it was completely normal and innocent. And if you're in a secure relationship and your partner is texting another man, you shouldn't be that concerned, because there's probably a reason for it. It might be something professional. Oh, heaven forbid she has a friend that's a member of the opposite sex. Exactly. And you're so insecure, and the only thing that your mind goes to is that she's effing him when she's not with you. If you feel that insecure, you're not ready for a grown-up relationship.
No, you need counseling. You need some mental health treatment.
People can have friends of the opposite sex without them having sex with them. That does happen. That's normal. And that would be called a healthy individual. If someone has a track record of cheating on you and they constantly have members of the opposite sex, you got an argument there. Then just don't be in the relationship with that person, because then they're just not good for a relationship like that. But healthy individuals are not going to do that.
And that note is so strange. Did he think that note would excuse him? But then it's like, but she did it to herself.
The narcissistic mind is a funny place.
Like, that makes no sense. The note makes no sense.
No, but in his mind it does. It makes it justified. And that's all they need, is just is ridiculous as a justification may be to a healthy mind. To that narcissistic mind, to that super selfish mind, that little piece of permission, basically, as it is, or evidence that, well, look, we made this pact. She's going to cheat, then this is I have carte blanche to do whatever I want. Look, she wrote it on the Post-it, and it's a yellow one even too, with an arrow. They think that that's okay. It justifies it in their mind, because there's not a lot of rationalization or thinking two steps ahead that are going to tell you everyone else is going to see this differently, which is how they get to the dark place to begin with, because they don't see it how a healthy mind would.
Yeah. And everybody's going to believe them, because they think so highly of themselves. Of course, everyone's going to believe me.
Yeah, exactly. Horrible story.
So sad.
But yeah, that's why they're out there. And another cautionary tale of folks. Number one, especially young folks, learn this. You can't fix anybody. There ain't nobody you're going to fix. No matter how good, how much you try, how much they may look like they could be, you're not going to fix anybody.
You'll never fix them.
If someone wants to be fixed, they're going to have to do it themselves.
Yes.
And if you're walking into something and you're going, this person needs a lot of fixing, and they're not fixed yet, or they're not actively trying to work at themselves and go, you know what? I want to be a better person. Run. The answer is no. The answer is no. Walk away. No. You need two healthy people to be in a healthy relationship. One of them's not, it ain't going to be a healthy relationship. But how much kicking and screaming and arguing and reasoning, and it ain't going to work.
It's so sad, because you know this was a very dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah.
For a long time.
With one extremely dysfunctional person and another person that was very likely there trying to fix. You got to be careful.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.